Blog Talk Radio.
Amazing Grace Ministries. We are Blog Talk Radio. Well, this is Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I want to certainly thank my co-host who was on last week, none other than Evangelist Terry Rogers. We thank God for her and certainly in her help and her assistance. And certainly this is a new month with new opportunities and a new lesson, and we give God the glory because he deserves all of it. Announcements, you know, I usually make my announcements. I'm going to keep the announcements pretty short. Basically, this coming Thursday, we will be doing our School of Ministry, and we will address the issues that we're facing, depression, anxiety. It is a mental health awareness class centered on helping those that are dealing with frustration, anxiety, fear, how to help them get the services they need. And certainly tune in on this coming Thursday at 6:30 p.m. And we're in a teaching and education blog on mental health. We thank God for you. If you need more information on any of the information or any of the resources we've talked about, I want you to give me a call, 309-750-7584. Certainly thank God that the state of Illinois is in its third phase. We've got a lot going on. We've got protests going on. Certainly, there have been uneasiness and unrest in our city and all over the world, with African Americans being the disparities and the situations and killings. And we thank God that He has a hand in everything. He fixes it for us. He's with us. Satan may have initiated the problem, but God is a fixer. And God will bring it out for His glory. And that's a promise that we have in Christ Jesus, who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly even in us. So let's get on. Let's get it. Let's get with the word. Praise the Lord. We have a word. The Lord has given us a word, and we have been working with and we have been dealing with operating in the fruits of the Spirit on this month. Now, I'm going to try to take them or break them down two at a time, but this may not happen, and we might go into July with the fruits. So let's get on. The theme of the month, like I said, is operating in the fruits of the Spirit. Well, the topic this day or today is the manifestation of joy and peace in the fruits. So let's read the main scripture. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you, therefore, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such thing there is no law. And for this, today we're doing Isaiah 61:10, which reads, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and a bride adorn herself with her jewels. So we're talking about manifestation of joy and peace. I have some definitions I would like to read for you today. First of all, we're going to define what manifestation is. Manifestation is the event, action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something, especially a theory or an abstract idea. It also is the action or fact of showing an abstract idea. So demonstration, showing, exhibit is some of the synonyms for manifestation. And when I define manifestation here, I mean demonstrating, showing, operating in, so presenting. So there is an outward sign. It's an appearance. And then even, you know, I like about this definition, they give the definition, the last definition is an appearance of a ghost or a spirit. And certainly when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit are considered to be the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Again, Holy Spirit, that ghost or that spirit, you know, hallelujah. And then we got the definition of joy. Joy is an emotion that's invoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. So it's like delight. So it's an expression or an exhibition of such emotions. It's a state of happiness, bliss, a source or cause of delight. And then there's another entry for definition of joy, which is a state of tranquil or quiet. So But we're talking here is an expression, an emotion that invokes goodwill. So when we talk about joy, we're talking about an outward expression. We're talking about an emotion. We're talking about desire, a delight in us. And then there are, I'm getting into the definition piece, but that is the expression of joy. So joy is this expression or the experience, great pleasure or delight. And then I was kind of getting in the definition of peace here. Forgive me. But peace is the state of quiet and being tranquil, being at ease. You know, when therapists usually get people to relax and get into a state of just ease by breathing techniques. And even there are certain people that will tell you take a deep breath and blow it out slowly. So that will get you in a state of calm, a state of quietness, a state of peace in essence. So when we look at peace, and this is the definition of peace, it's a state of quietness, is the freedom from civil disturbance. And of course, we don't have peace on the land right now. We have protesting, we have people marching, we have people standing out. We thank God that God has given us the element of technology to see the injustice that has been brought about, that has been happened, that has been done to African American people for over 401 years. We still have such an atrocity. We still have disparities, but God is rising us up, and He has heard our cries, people. So, the definition, we're in a definition of peace, and it's a state of concord, and it's a state of quietness, it's a state of rest, it's a state of, and it's also free from disquieting or oppositive thoughts or emotions. Oppressive, not oppositional, sorry, oppressive. Y'all pray for me this morning. Hallelujah. So, the Bible says that joy is a gift to those who belong to Jesus. Joy is given by God to His followers. Don't postpone your joy. Don't keep waiting to open the gift. May the righteousness be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Psalms 83:3, the Bible shows that joy increases because of our increasing relationship with God. Joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it is our duty to rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 3:1, 4:4, 1 Thessalonians 3:16, in Christ, the believer is filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy, 1 Peter 1:8. However, I need to contrast at this time sadness. Now, sadness is the condition or quality of being sad, unhappy, sorrow, reject, depression, misery, cheerlessness, downheartedness. So those and a low spirit, those are the synonyms for sadness. Now, one of them was depression. And there are therapists, there are a long list of symptoms of depression, and I'm not going to go through with all of those. Some of them is loss of concentration. Some of them are just being sad. Sad is just a heavy sadness, really sad, and you can't seem to let it go. So now we're dealing with the joy, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and this fruit, which is joy. Literally, the fruit of the Spirit is what happens when the Holy Spirit dwells, the Holy Spirit indwells a believer. Now, the fruit, we talked about the fruit, but this is just a little review. The fruit is the product of the Holy Spirit's cultivation of character in a heart. Galatians, and we already read the scripture, describes Galatians 5, 22 and 23, describes what fruits look like. So, and that's what we're doing today. We're describing what the character look like. And a lot of times I had to give you the definition of joy, because what we are doing, the definition of sadness, because we are to walk in the fruits of the Spirit every day. These fruits are to be part of who we are. And we're doing joy today, and hopefully I can get through into peace, but if not, I'll be doing it next week. When we look at joy, the joy of our salvation, which one of the scriptures talks about. But when we look at joy, when we look at what joy is, when we look at choosing to operate or have joy. Now, the scripture says in Romans 14 and 7, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, not righteousness and peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's production of joy can be manifested in several ways. And I want to say this, that before I get to the production of joy, that joy is God's expression. Joy expresses God's kingdom, his influence on earth. And that's the scripture that I read you in Romans 14 and 17. The Spirit's production of joy can be manifested in several ways. The joy of deliverance. When God sets someone free, rejoicing is in order. 1 Samuel 2 and 1, Hannah was filled with joy at her deliverance from her enemies. Acts 14, 12 and 14, the servant girl was so overjoyed that God had rescued Peter from prison that she forgot to let Peter in the house. The joy of salvation. Our greatest reason to be joyful is that God wants to save us and spend eternity with us. Nothing is better than this. Hallelujah. Luke 15 and 7. All heaven is joyful when a person accepts God's provision of salvation. Acts 8 and 8. The people of Samaria were joyful as they heard the gospel and saw God's power in healing the sick. And you know, we have joy, we have joy, we have joy. Hallelujah. In what God has done for us, when we think of the goodness of the Lord, our hearts rejoice. Our hearts rejoice when we feel his presence. And certainly we are in a state now that it seems like we can't get into the churches, but the churches are opening up. But everyone, all churches is not opening up at the rate of others. So we've been what it would seem kind of out of sorts. We've been disconnected, disjointed. We haven't been able to hug. We haven't been able to socialize. We haven't been able to come together in groups. The government's telling us social distance, social distance. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Ooh, hallelujah. The joy, the joy, the joy. The joy, when I think of the goodness and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Y'all know them scriptures. So we have Acts 13 and 52 and 15 and 3. Now, the Jewish believers rejoiced when they heard the work of the Holy Spirit in saving Gentiles. Hallelujah. So then, now we have the joy of spiritual maturity. The joy of spiritual maturity. As the Holy Spirit works in us to bear fruit, it's a fruit. It needs to bear fruit. Or the Holy Spirit in us needs to bear fruit. And one of the fruit is joy. And that joy needs to come out. So the Holy Spirit works in us to bear more fruit. We become confident in God's promises and rejoice in our walk with Him and with other believers. The joy of spiritual maturity. That's something. That's something. Now, when you read John 15 and 11, it talks about the fullness of joy comes to those who continue in the love of Christ and obey Him. The fullness of joy. And I told you the definition of sadness because there is a contrast. There is a joy versus sadness deal here. And we are to walk in that joy. We are to walk in that fruit. We are to walk in the joy of the Lord. We are to walk in it. It is spiritual maturity as the word is given us. Philippians 2 and 2 says, groups, and this is a synopsis, and I'm sorry, I skipped one. Second Corinthians, first verse, 24th verse, second chapter, third verse, seventh chapter, fourth verse, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19 to 20, chapter 3 and 9. Now, these are all verses that talk about Paul knew joy as the church gave evidence of the Holy Spirit working in them. So these are scriptures that show that there was joy. There was joy as the church began to grow, as the church began to walk, as the church began to grow in the strength and the admonition of the Lord. We are to grow. And the more we grow, the more joy we have. And the more joy we have, the more we are showing forth the maturity of that fruit. Philippians 2 and 2 talks about the groups of believers who unite in demonstrating the mind, the love, and the purpose of Christ bringing joy to others. So we are to have joy, in essence, to help bring it to others. And then the word in Hebrews 10 and 34 and 12 and 2 and James 1, 2 through 4 talks about believers following the example of Christ to endure persecution because of the promise or the future of joy. This is not our world, although we're living in it. Because we're living in it, we need to stand up for our rights. But our second, we are bound for heaven. We are bound for another kingdom. And we must realize that we are to get ourselves ready for that kingdom. Now, I want to read a little bit more of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 34. And this is the New Living Translation. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering? Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there was better things waiting for you that will last forever. You know, we're going to go through. We're going to suffer. We're going to have problems down here. Everything ain't going to be peachy cream and roses. We're going through a time now that is just never seen before. I've told people often I've never seen a time as this that we're going through. We hit with coronavirus, and then it seemed like the data saying, well, there are more African Americans dying from this disease than any other race. And you look at the disparities, yeah, it was a spotlight. And then you get the killing of this young man, George Floyd, that this police officer just put his knee on his neck. And if we look at it, we can go back in society and say, how many of us as African Americans have been exposed to that type of abuse? We could raise our hands, but the joy of the Lord is still our strength. We are to have joy even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, even in the midst where people think they can walk us down and put their knees on our neck. The Lord is saying we need to still have joy. And you know, ultimately, the Lord will fix it. Hallelujah. Then there is the joy of God's presence. Now, this is a deep one, y'all. The Spirit draws us to God, in whose presence we can know true joy. Without the Holy Spirit, no one would seek God. So without the Spirit dwelling on the inside, telling us we need to get to the Lord, we need to seek the Lord, we need to be in his presence. Hallelujah. And there's fullness of joy in his presence. Praise the Lord. When we get in the presence of the Lord, when we get in that place where God speaks to us, when we meditate, when we spend time going before him, when we set aside time out in our day to have a praise party or to have our study in the Word and allow the Word to speak to us, then God speaks back. Hallelujah. Then God speaks back. There is a drawing. There is an appetite that we begin to have for the Lord. And see, our brain is such that if we stimulate it, it's going to want more of what we're stimulating it with. Meaning, if we on our phones and we're playing them games, the stimulation of those games will produce chemicals in our brains where we want more of that same stimulation. So we need to play more, we need to play more, we need to play more. But if we draw to the Lord, if we allow the Spirit of the Lord to draw us in, if we read more of the Word, if we study the Word of God, if we listen to the Word of God and we allow the Spirit of the Lord to work in us, then our brain says, I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more, because it makes me feel good. It stimulates the activity in the chemicals in our brain to want more of what we're doing, giving it. So when we look at Psalms 16 and 11, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. Matthew 2:10, Luke 1:14, Mary and the shepherds were joyful because Emmanuel had been born. The Lord with us had come on the scene. Hallelujah. Joy. Joy in knowing that Jesus is still with us. Joy in knowing that he sent back the Comforter, and now the Comforter dwells on the inside of us. When we look at Mark 28:8, Luke 24:41, it's talking about the woman who went to Jesus' tomb, the women who went to Jesus' tomb, and the disciples were overjoyed that he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. God had risen. He was no longer there. There was joy in knowing that God had did what he said he was going to do. Now, another thing, we have joy because of God's grace. The next step in the progression is to allow our joy to become an action as we express it. Did you know joy can be an action? Although sometimes joy can be so great, it's inexpressible. And we see that in 1 Peter 8 and 1. Got the verse here somewhere. Let me read it. But y'all read it. 8 and 1. Find it in your spare time. So it's an expression. It's an expression. It's an outward expression. And saints of God, while I'm on this subject, those that are listening to this blog, please, the scriptures that I read, some I give you just kind of a synopsis of what it's talking about, and then sometimes I read the whole entire scripture. Please write these scriptures down and go do the research for yourself. Do the research, learn of the Lord, so that you could have that expression, that outward expression of joy, so you would allow that progression, that joy to be expressed in your heart. That joy would be so great that people would be, I want what you have. Joy, it can be, you know, I see those people that are strung out on drugs and they're chasing that high. But the joy of the Lord, the word says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we talk about it, when we read the word of God and when we experience it, when we allow the joy to permeate and get on down in the inside, it is so powerful. It is so moving. It is so expressionable until we got to lift our hands. I am a bossy. We got to lift our hands up. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost comes in and we're quickened and we can't help ourselves. What we're still in the human form and we still have control. Hallelujah, because God gives us that. But there is a joy. There is a joy that we have. Hallelujah. And two, God gives us the hope of eternal life. So, all praise to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It be his great mercies that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectations and we have priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is key to heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive his salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day of all to see. So they're truly glad there, this wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Those trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fires tested and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than pure gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Your love for him, even though you have never seen him, though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious inexpressible joy. 9, and this is 1 Peter. The reward for trusting him will be salvation of your soul. So when we see that the hope of the eternal, when we see what the Lord is doing, what we have, what he's given to us, we have gladness, we have joy, and God has given us that, his grace and his mercy, and he's given us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And certainly we await eternal life because we know that God has done that for us. So then let's look at another scripture, 1 Peter 4, 12 verses 12 through 14. And this is also the New Living Translation. It says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange was happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the joy, wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you." So I want to say this: possessing joy is a choice. I'm going to say it again. Possessing joy is a choice. Now, the scriptures that I have read talks about eternal life. It talks about going through some trials and tribulations, and we are going through some trials and tribulations now. We're going through this coronavirus, the states opening up. We're going through the injustice of being, I don't know, African Americans are going through injustices, and people are getting, it seemed like, beat up by the police and killed by the police. And then there's the rioters that do that have done evil to tear up our neighborhoods, and we can't get our medication. We can't go to the stores we used to go, and a lot of the stores are saying, "I'm not opening up." And then we continue to see more fallout and fallout with what's going on in our society. But the bottom line is that this is not our home. We're living in it. We're raising a generation that knows the Lord, that we hope that will know the Lord and will stand up for injustices of what's going on, because that is what we do as Christians. We have to stand for them and tell the world, "Thus saith the Lord." And the Lord talked about injustices. He talked about when the church didn't feed the poor, when they were abusive, when Israel thought that they were going to come and they were going to give sacrifices to the Lord, but yet they have misused God's people. And God was saying in the Word, don't you even think that you're going to come and lift me up, sacrifices, and you haven't done what I've asked you to do. It don't work like that. You have got to obey me. And that is what the Lord is saying. We've got to obey his word. And once we obey his word and we seek him and we allow this word to permeate in our hearts, then there is an activation of joy. There's an activation of the fruits of the Spirit. And these fruits we are to operate and walk in on a daily basis. That's why I'm talking about sadness versus joy. So if you have listened and you heard the definition of sadness and the definition of joy, they're two different forces. They're on two different sides. You can't have joy and be sad, and certainly you can't be sad and have joy unless, well, in some cases you can. If you got a wedding and you're going to a wedding, you may, but you ain't even sad then. You may be crying and you may seem sad, but you're joyful. And tears may be your expression, your outward expression of joy. I got down to the fact that possessing joy is a choice. We choose whether to value God's presence, promises, and work in our lives. When we yield to the Spirit, we open up our eyes to God's grace around us, and it fills us with joy. Hallelujah. I'm getting joy. Joy just getting into this word. Romans 15 and 13 reads, "I pray," and this is the New Living Translation, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confidence, hope, through the power of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Joy is not to be found in a fallen world. It is only fellowship with God. And And God is the only one that can make our joy complete. So joy isn't here. It isn't this fallen world. Sin happened. And because sin happened, there are manifestations of sin. Talked about what manifestations are. And that's because there are manifestations of sin here in the world. There's brokenness, there's shame, there's rejection. But God came to heal. God came to deliver. God said that I will give you peace and joy. And we're talking specifically for joy. And it's a choice. I choose to rejoice in the Lord. And you know, you got to press in sometimes because you hit with all kinds of distractions and issues. Satan comes at you in full force. And because he comes at you in full force, he want to steal your joy, because he knows if he steal your joy, he will get you off guard. He will make you depressed. He will get you sad. He will get you where you feel despair and feel like, where is my God? That's a trick of Satan. Hallelujah. I said joy is not found in the fallen world. So let's read the scriptures. And this is a New Living Translation version, 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. We proclaim you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that she may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may be fully share our joy. We have joy, saints. We have joy in the Lord. Then we have the joy of the Lord. And it looks like I'm going to end with this one, and we will pick up peace, the manifestation of peace, on next week. The joy of the Lord is gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Spirit. When Jesus was born, the angels announced good tidings of joy, Luke 2 and 10. All who find Jesus know with the shepherds of the joy he brings. Even before his birth, Mary attested to having joy in her song in Luke 1 and 47. John responds to hearing Mary's voice as he leaps for joy in his mother's womb. So when we see leaps for joy, and of course, you know the story of Mary and Elizabeth, hallelujah, when the angel came, he told Mary that she would give birth to the Son of God. Hallelujah. You know the story that she went and saw Elizabeth, praise the Lord. And when she spoke to Elizabeth, the belly in Elizabeth's body leaped for joy and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Leaped for joy. You know, one of the things we see in joy, the joy of the Lord, that joy exemplified Jesus' ministry. Hallelujah. He was described as a bridegroom at a wedding feast. He rejoiced in the Spirit of the Lord. He spoke my joy in scriptures, and he promised to give his disciples a lifetime supply. Joy is reflected in many things, in many of Jesus' parables, and joy is reflected so many times in Scripture. Hallelujah. Rejoicing in the presence of the angels, and certainly in Luke 15 and 10, and in with a joyful shepherd, a joyful woman, and a joyful man. Certainly, when we look at the scriptures, when we look at God's ministries and we see it in operation, when we see the joy of the Lord, when we see that we are to walk in joy and allow this manifestation, we are to exhibit it, we are to display it, we are to walk in it, we are to make it known and seen. It should have an outward appearance. It should be shown. It should be demonstrated. It should be exhibited. We should walk in it. We should have it. We should be full of it, because the other side is sadness. And certainly we do not want to walk in sadness, because guess what? Sadness produces chemicals that will make you further be sad. Joy, on the other hand, produces chemicals that will make you be joyous, and it will get even greater. That's the part of the ability of our brain. What we stimulate our brain with, it is going to want more of it. The more joy we give it, the more it wants. The more issues of sadness we give it, the more it wants. Joy is a choice, so let us choose to be joyful. Let us choose to walk in the joy of the Lord. How do we get joy? We choose to walk in it. We press into it. We say, I'm thankful and I'm praising God, and we rejoice in the Lord. Even when we don't feel like it, we press. Paul talks about pressing our way, pressing. This is a pressing way. Satan hits us with everything he has because he knows his time is winding up. Saints of God, be joyful. Have joy. Choose to walk in joy. Choose to demonstrate joy. Choose to show it. Choose to give it. Choose to make people just be contagious. Just because you have so much joy, people around you say, I want that joy. I want it. I want it. I want it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this blog. I thank you for this hour. I thank you, not for the hour, but for this minutes or these minutes that I'm here on Blog Talk. Father God, I pray, God, that you'll bless each and every one that's listening to the sound of my voice. Father God, I pray, God, that you'll bless them, that you will give joy, unspeakable joy, God, that you'll allow them to walk in this fruit, God, that it may be manifested in our lives, Father God. Give us a hunger and thirst for your word, Lord, that we may manifest you in what we do and how we say it. God, you know the needs of your people, and we pray for those needs right now. We pray, God, that even in the injustice of our society, even continue to cover us with this coronavirus, Father God, you know. And we pray right now, God, that you intercede, deliver, and set free. Father God, we love you. We magnify you. We thank you, God, for the joy that you've given to us on today. And God, those that don't have joy on that in this blog, Father God, I pray that Holy Spirit, even now, that you will impart joy right now in the Holy Spirit. Joy, joy full of glory. Joy, 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 joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy in the name of Jesus. I pray it right now. Joy, joy, joy. Ha. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God. I worship and I adore you, God. I magnify you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you and I worship you, God. You have been so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We went over our time. Hallelujah. But thank the Lord. He is so good. He is so good. Saints, walk in joy. This week, I challenge you to choose joy. Choose to walk in joy. Choose to walk in that fruit. Choose to be joyful when sadness comes, or when issue comes that you don't understand, problems come that you don't know or you don't know how to handle. Choose joy. And then ask the Lord to fix it. And I guarantee you, He will, he has fixed it. I see you all next week. I will follow up with the manifestations of peace. God bless. Bye-bye.